So we're starting the third parak now, and the way the Ramchal deals with this is, it's not where each parak is necessarily a new midah per se, but he'll have an overview, let's say in one parak. So the second parak was the overview of the midah of zehiros, of vigilance that we've been discussing. And in this parak, so it's subtitled, Bever Chelkei HaZehiros. Going into the different sections and components, basically more be'ian about the same need that we've been discussing. So he begins, Hine harotze lefakeach al atzma. If a person wants to monitor themselves, and wants to be aware, to look into, as we discussed just broadly, the idea of zehiros is recognizing what you're doing in life, being aware, knowing if you should, being thoughtful, whether you should go down this path or that path, do X, do Y, and not just blindly doing whatever you want and not making sure to really be thoughtful about it. So, Rotel Vakech al Atmo, if a person wants to monitor themselves, Shtayim, Heina Hashkafos Hatrichos, so they have to assess two things. Achas, the first thing, She Yisbonein Mahu Atov Hamiti, She Yivchar Bo Ha'adam. The first thing is to understand and reflect upon what's truly good that a person should do, v'hara hamiti shi'anas v'menu, and what's truly bad that a person should flee from. So you want to think about what's objective and the things that you want to make sure to encounter and interact with, and the components that you want to stay away from. The ashni, and the second thing is ala ma'isa masher hu osa leros imhe mekla hatov o mekla hara. And the second thing is look at the things you're already doing. So the first area is things that you are thinking about doing. Should I do this? Oh, let me see. Is this good? Is this bad? And then the other thing is, what am I already doing in life? What have I done? And let me see. Should I continue to do those actions which I've already been doing? And this applies both in the time when you're involved in the action and at a time when you're not necessarily involved in the action, right? So a time when you're involved in the action, you could start, we've probably been in scenarios and situations where we start to do something, we're like, this is probably not going to end well. Like those types of things. Right? It's about to be Purim. There are many situations and scenarios on Purim that come up where it's like, this is not going to end well. This is not a good idea. Whatever it may be. When you go to a wedding, you see the person who's about to juggle fire, like, I'm not sure that's so smart. Like, it usually works out well, but I'm sure that it doesn't always work out well. So, b'shas ha'maisa, shlo yaseh shum maisa mebeli sheyesh kol osob mozne zos hayadia. That when it comes to b'shas ha'maisa, at the time of it, so zehiros requires a person not only to perform and to weigh something out at the time when you're doing it, but shlo yaseh shum maisa mebeli sheyesh kol osob mozne zos hayadia, that you make sure to really weigh it out, right, at all sides, and have the knowledge of what you're about to do. Shalo b'shas ma'isa, and specifically when you're even not doing the action, so you're reflecting upon your day, you're reflecting upon what you're about to do. A person is going on a trip, right? So when it comes to going on trips, there's two types of families. There are families that will just travel somewhere, don't have anything planned, then they'll be like, okay, so what should we do? This past summer, so my wife and I were going to go on vacation, and when she already had to schedule the days off in advance, and for a while we were like, yeah, let's go to Washington, D.C., and then literally, I forgot if it was literally the day before, at most it was 2 days beforehand, we had not booked anything, I look online, look at the weather, it was like 90s and humid in D.C., and then I was like, let me see what it's like a little bit up north, and check Boston, it was like in the 70s, I'm like, let's just go to Boston. And like, that's kind of what it was. And then, okay, so we looked into some things to do. So the one mahalacha is like, on a whim, had to do that. But then the other thing, and this is where most vacations are more productive, is when you have an itinerary. There are people who grew up in homes where the parent is like, we're going here, we're going to be there for X amount of days, we're doing this activity on day one, everyone has to wake up at this time, right? And everything is already planned out. So when it comes to Espodidus, about like reflecting upon himself and thinking, so that's shalom b'shas ma'isa, that's thinking about and taking, kind of thinking about your itinerary, like what should I do tomorrow, and if you don't think about it, it might not end off so productively. So Shalos Pashas Maisa, he says, Shiyala the fun of Zichron Klal Ma'asav Yishkolosam, that you're thinking about all the actions that you've done and you're weighing them. Kimo kein b'mozneh mishkal hazel lerot ma yesh ba mehara ma yidcheh. So you're weighing them to see, is there anything that's bad in my actions that going forward I should eradicate? Going forward I should try to remove that component about it. Uma min atov lehasmid bo u'lizchazek bo. And what amongst my actions are good that I really want to stick with? V'im yimtzam behem min hara. And if you see something, you notice something that's not so good, has not been going well. Az yisbonim v'yakor b'sichlo izetach bula yasal asur min hara haku v'litar nimenu. He says, so then when you notice something that's bad, you notice you're not doing something right, and I'll give some examples shortly, but when you notice you're not doing something that right, then you should devise a plan about how to get rid of it. How to remove that part from your life. It's not necessarily so easy just because you know something's bad to remove it. And over here, in the footnote, there's something I marked off that's from the Masnas Anas Chalko, who he says, it's not enough to simply say, I'm going to do better next time. Right? We often, if we mess up, say like, oh, I'm going to get it next time. I'm going to, for example, a person will say, I want to spend some time learning. Or I have like a block of free time. It doesn't even have to be related to Torah. So you have a block of free time. You have an exam coming up. And you're like, I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to shut off my computer. Put my phone away. I'm going to study for 3 hours. And then you study for like half an hour and get totally distracted. Like, next time I'm going to do this. Next time I'm going to do it right. So he says it's not enough to just say that. But you have to think and specifically plan, how am I going to do it better next time? There has to be an actual plan, because it's normal for us to actually, and it's not necessarily, it's a good madriga, but it's not the highest madriga to just think, you know, I have regret, I have charata, I feel bad for what I messed up in, I want to do better, right? I have this, to give a very practical message, I have this all the time, almost every single time I daven Shmoneh Esrei, it's like, I'm going to have better kavana next time. Like, I say that all the time. What I really should say is, I'm going to make sure to point at the place. And if I lose focus, I'm going to stop and take a 3-second break to just focus and stop and realize where I am and who I'm speaking to. And then I can continue, and I'm going to make sure to point to follow along to help me understand the words. That's more of a plan, and I have much better chance of success than saying, oh, I got it better next time. I'm going to do it better next time. Another thing that I wanted to bring up is that when it came to recognizing good or bad, it's not necessarily as simple as it sounds. It's not like, you know, I probably shouldn't have punched that person. It's not like something that's necessarily overt. It could be like, tonight at my house, so I was learning Gemara, my wife was taking care of my son, and I know that there were times where I could have done a better job helping her. Helped her a little bit to a certain extent, but I probably could have done a better job. And like, what should I do? What's better in that situation? So it's almost like weighing that out. That's certainly a gray area. And there's a lot of other things. It doesn't have to be necessarily like one mitzvah versus another mitzvah, but there's a lot of cheshbonos that we make throughout the day, as we've discussed in the past. Continuing on, V'davar zeh hudi unu, Chachmenu zechron levracha b'amram, in Ervin daf yegimal and beiz, the Chachamim inform us, noach lo la'adam shalom nivra yoser misha nivra. I believe I said this idea last time. If not, he said it, I can't remember. If it was something I said outside, that the Gemara in Ervin has brought machokos to Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, about, they argued, Gemara says, they argued for 2.5 years, is it better, or was it good or not for man to have been created? And the Gemara paskins, it was better that man should have not been created. Which is a wild conclusion. And he actually, the Ramchal discusses it about, wait, the Ramchal himself believes that the reason Hashem created man was because he loves us and wants to give to us. So how could we paskin that it is bad that we were created? How could we say, how could those two things exist? Hashem loves us, that's why he created us. You know, we shouldn't have been created, it's really bad that we're created. So he says, Rachel Salanter in his Sefer Or Yisrael in Parakaf Gimel says, and I'll read from the footnote in English, although the entire purpose of creation was to benefit man, as Ramchal explained, the Gemara means that a person doesn't appreciate the value of his having been created. A person doesn't really appreciate life. It says, caught up in temptation and desire, man finds it difficult to comprehend the goodness of his situation. So the fact that we constantly have nisyona, the fact that there's so many obstacles and struggles, this applies, I think, both in the through a Torah lens and through a non-Torah lens. Through a non-Torah lens, for example, the average person, even if you take an atheist, there's a lot of difficult situations in life. There are things that are challenging, things that are scary, things that are anxiety-provoking. And a person might think, like, why am I here? Like, is this really good? And then from a Torah situation, of course, the fact that there's a strong Yitzhahara, and there's, really, Gemara is talking about a Torah situation, where it's just very difficult, and things in life are tough, where we potentially would succumb to the Yitzhahara and feel like, oh my God, I'm a failure here. So he's saying a person, if they get caught up in it, yeah, then they feel like, why am I here? But the whole point is to be able to try to overcome that. And says the Achshav, so the Gemara there continues, V'achshav shenivra, but now that we are created, meaning, even though there's machlokesh, Hashem have created us or not, we know that the end result is we were created. And now that we're created, yifashvish b'masav, so I'll define that in a second, v'ikadamre yimashmesh b'masav. So these are two different ways of introspection. It's machlok, like one says to do this, v'ikadamre, those say to do that. So he says, Yefashvesh is basically to search. It defines it here as searching his deeds, to think about his action, the masim that he's doing. And Yemashmesh means more like feel it, like you should feel it, it should be more tangible. He's going to go much more in depth, literally, into these things and the difference between these two things as we conclude, as we continue. V'tira, I should know, sheshnei halashonot him shtei azharo tovot umo'ilo ma'od. These two lashonot, these two words, yifashfesh or yimashmesh, these are two different types of being vigilant, two different ways of being cautious and careful and contemplative. Umo'ilos ma'od. And they're very beneficial. There's a lot of good things that come out of both of these modes. Kihine hapishpush, so yifashvesh b'masim hu lachkor al klal hamasim l'sponin bo. This is thinking about the totality of one's actions. Thinking in general, what am I doing? I have a day off. How would I spend my day off? If I had a day to do, happens to be tomorrow I'm taking a day off from work. I've missed a day and a half since September or so. And one day I was sick, the other day I had to leave early to take care of my son's babysitter stuff. And so I'm taking a day off tomorrow. So imagine if I had absolutely no responsibility. There's a reason I'm taking off. But imagine if I had absolutely no responsibilities. I had nothing. How would I spend my day? And so if at the end of the day I felt like, you know, if that's my ideal day, like I should really do a cheshba and nefesh because that's not so productive. So this thing about the totality of one's actions. Hanimso hemaisim asher lo yasu asher enam holchim al pi mitzvos Hashem v'chukav. That maybe you'll find they are not actually following necessarily the mitzvos of Hashem and walking in the proper path. And like everything that you find that's wrong, yivarim, like biur chametz, right? Like burning, which means like eliminating, destroying. So yivarim min olam. You should get rid of it for the world, like remove it from your life. Ah, however, hamishmosh, so yimashmesh, the other form, he hachakira. He defines this as an examination, not just of like the bad, of looking at the totality of one's action, what should I remove, but even looking at the good. That to see, even within your positive actions, is there potentially ulterior motives for mitzvot that I'm doing. So is it where, you know, I realize that I only give tzedakah and shul because I get to walk by everyone and they see me put in money in the pushka and I feel good about myself. Yeah, I want to do the mitzvah, but there's a component of, I know that rabbi or that person stands right next to me and always sees me and I look very holy. So it could be there are elements like that coming from even performing mitzvahs. The Rambam, I saw, Rambam says to the question of why is it that Hashem gave us so many mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, so many. Why? He says, because hopefully in your life you're going to do one of them that's just totally lishma. that for most mitzvot, there could be a very small percentage of a lo lishma aspect. It could be even just for ourselves, of even an element of, I want to feel good. Maybe I'll put on tefillin tomorrow so that I feel good about myself. I mean, that's, in a certain sense, that's still lo lishma. I'm not saying that's a bad thing and you should feel great about yourself. But there's so many, obviously there's greater, meaning more negative, ulterior motives of doing mitzvos. If I just want to sit here with the Gemara, let's say a person who's single is like, I don't want to sit here in a more public place with the Gemara so that a girl who sees me will learning that maybe she'll want to go out with me. Like, there's literally Rav Aryeh Leibowitz in one of his shiurim, he discussed the shaila where a guy wanted to learn in his college, he went to secular college, wanted to learn during one of the classes so that a girl who was there would see him learning so that maybe she'd be interested in him. And he was asked, like, could I do that? Interesting question. So there's not, I'm not like, mom's not making something up. It's not. So these are the two different types of things. About the first one of yifash feish, of let's say just focusing, as we said, on the totality and what's the evil I should remove. So it's more the negative and the positive. And then yifash feish. B'masav, of thinking about something within even the mitzvos of the positive things that I'm doing that I should remove as well. That maybe I realize I'm not doing it in totally the shema sense. And Avraham J. Tversky, in one of the footnotes here, talks about how one of his books, he spoke about a discussion about two people who are talking about the din v'cheshbon that they're going to face when they pass away. And they're both concerned for it. And the first person said, I'm just so scared of what's going to happen. Because I know when I die, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say, look at all those bad things you did. Look at all those sins. Look at how many times he gave into Yitahara. And the second person said to him, he's like, I'm not scared about that. Not that I'm perfect, but Hashem is going to look at me and says, look at all those mitzvot you did. But look why you did them. Look how you davened. You were spacing out the entire time. You weren't really davened. You didn't have such good kavanah. Like, he's going to point out, he was concerned about all the negative aspects of the mitzvot that he was doing. And these are the two sides of one coin that a person has to be contemplative of being able to try to remove the evil from one's, that one's doing in life, things that are more objectively evil, and then trying to hone in and focus on doing mitzvot in the best way possible. Now, Reza, Kimin Mashmesh Beveged, Levchon Hato V'Chazak, Hu O Chalashu V'Alui. To be able to, like I said, Yimashmesh is more of like a touch, like a feel. Like, it gives an example. It's like feeling a garment, see if it's good and if it's strong, or whether it's weak and it's worn out and it's torn. Kein yimashmesh b'masav levchon tchunasam b'tachlis havchana ad sheyishar zach b'naki. So too, a person has to look at one's nature and to really examine carefully to see, am I pure? Am I doing everything properly as best as I can? And there's a footnote here that speaks about the Kutzke Rebbe. And Kutzke Rebbe was on his story of where he was on his I just remind myself of the story. The story was basically the Kutzke Rebbe was on his deathbed, and he was talking with his students, and the Talmidim said to him, like, you know where you're going, everything's going to be great. Like, right now, you basically have no yetahara. Like, there's nothing bad, like, that could go on. The Kutzker basically said, like, I still have a yetahara. You want me to tell you what my yetahara is saying? My yetahara, right now, is telling me that even over here, even while I'm on my deathbed, even as I'm about to die, my yetahara is telling me, make sure to say Shema really loud so that they see that you have so much kavanah. Because you're the Rebbe, you should have great Kavanah. So that's what my Yitar is telling me right now. It's like, even literally till like the moment of death, says if we're always have these tests. And that's an example, certainly, of the second case, of where you're doing a mitzvah, and like, no, doing it with potential ulterior motives. And Klal Hadavar, an important general rule, Yeha Adam Ein Amasav Kulam Fakech HaKol Derachav. Person should always analyze, and here Drachav, he says more referring to midos. not necessarily the mitzvahs themselves, but one's character traits. That a person shouldn't get accustomed to something bad or having bad midos. Even more so, of course, getting accustomed to actually doing maisim and actions that are bad and destructive. The hinni roe. Tzorech la'adam shiyya medaktek v'shokel drachav v'aryom biyomo kasocher ma'agdol ma'asher yifaslu tamir kol iskeem l'man lo yizkalkalu. That a person should examine their actions, just like, if not even more so, than a person, imagine someone who's managing a business, and they have merchandise, and constantly they're going to be checking inventory, they're going to be saying how sales are going, and they're going to constantly oversee the operation to see how sales are moving, how are things going. And certainly, of course, if a person is making a bad business deal, if a person is spending too much on something they could get cheaper elsewhere, or it just doesn't make sense cost efficiently, it's not, or this product isn't selling, they still keep ordering it, of course they're going to put an end to it. And the person would lose their job, assuming it's not the CEO, the person will lose their job if they're not careful about being aware of all those components. He says so too, obviously for us. Person should set aside time and hours so that things don't just become like, it doesn't just become, I guess, like you're not just doing it whimsically. You're not just not thinking about it, having lapse of mind and just going off and doing it. That person really has to be koveya this. It's not just where, I think, here's what it was. It's not just that you're thinking about it here and there as you're like, I don't know, let's say equivalent, like walking down the street, like, let me think for a few seconds. But it's like to establish this, to have a set time to do this. And he says, because it'll really have tremendous benefit. And there's a scary footnote here, where the footnote's like, and the great rabbis used to do this for an hour a day and set aside an hour a day to just stop and think. Like, okay, nice for most of us, I don't think that was so practical. Sit for an hour a day, it'd be amazing. And when I saw it, I'm like, okay, it's not lamaisa. But at the same time, yeah, I think if we do actually pause and thought for an hour, yeah, our actions would be different. But there's definitely a profound impact that it could have, even with certainly a few minutes. I would argue to say, there's a rabbi, I've quoted him before, Moshe Benovitz, who I heard him say that when it comes to davening, there happens to be a very big distinction between the way we're able to have kavana if you come early versus coming late. When you come late, you feel like rush, like you're like playing catch up, like thinking in your head. Like, there's no time to really stop and think. If you come early, certainly there's more menuchas nefesh able to really focus better. But his idea that he said is for 6 seconds for each tefillah, so 18 seconds a day, I think all of us have 18 seconds a day, for 6 seconds, just think, I'm about to speak to Hashem. If you just think that for 6 seconds before you daven, he says it can really transform your davening. So I think also, to say for 1 minute, 2 minutes, how was my day? What did I do? Was I productive? What could I change? What were the bad things I should try to remove? What were the good things that maybe I didn't do as best as I could? And it can really have a profound impact. And the Chachamim, they explicitly teach this idea of contemplation. As it says in Baba Basra and Daf Ayin Chayram Beis, Akein Yomru Hamokshlim Bo Cheshbon. Now this is based on a pasuk, Sarah Bamidbar, and Moshlim is here could be defined as like poets. Like here, they said like Bo Cheshbon, come to the place of Cheshbon. So Gemara and Baba Basra basically homiletically explains it as follows. Al-Kain Yomru ha-Moshlim bi-Yitram. A Moshel is a ruler. So those who rule over their Yitzhahara, Bo'u un-Echashev Cheshbono Shalolam. A Cheshbon is an accounting. Those who rule over the Yitzhahara, they say, to make a calculation for what they're doing in their life. So it says, Al-Kain Yomru ha-Moshlim bo'u Cheshbon, meaning the Moshlim, those who rule the Yitzhahara, they say, Bo'u Cheshbon, come to do a Cheshbon ha-Nefesh. Come to be able to think what you're doing. Hefseid mitzvah k'neged schar, schar ver k'neged hefseid v'chulei. It says in basically in Pirkei Avos where it says to reflect, to weigh the mitzvos, and to weigh the averos, to think about what you're doing. Because the greatest piece of advice and the most truthful piece of advice will not come without like honest contemplation, and about thinking that about overcoming your yetzer hara, and about thinking about, am I able to overcome this? Am I able to think about what I'm doing wrong? The goal of the yetzer hara, oftentimes we discussed in the past, is just keep us busy. Right? Remember with Paro, we spoke about, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, Paro just made things harder for the slaves so that they stopped thinking. So that they constantly just had to work. They couldn't even stop to reflect of how, like, holy cow, I'm a slave. I can't do anything. They just had to constantly work and work and work. If you have a person who still is in the shackles and imprisoned by his yetzer hara, they're constantly sinning, they can never escape, and they're committing everything under the sun. Now, think about a person, though, for those of us who do fault yetzer hara at times, it's more from a place of, I know it's good, but I'm sinning because of temptation. But people who continuously, over and over, commit sins, think about someone who's irreligious. That's basically what we're talking about. They don't think that necessarily even what they're doing is so wrong. Ain in avros ha'emes. Their eyes don't even see the truth. They don't even recognize what's good in life. The eino yachal akira. They can't recognize it. Ki ayeter mesame es ein of mamish. Because the yetzer hara literally blinds their eyes. And it's like he's walking in darkness before him. And they're stumbling blocks. They're blockades, they're things, impediments that are in front of him that he just can't avoid. So like that person who, even if he knows a little bit about what he should do, but he's so used to just doing the wrong thing that he can't get over it. I'm not sure if I said this. I apologize if I did in the past. If I said it was like week one. So please forgive me. But it's really relevant to this. There's one of the big spiritual epidemics is something known as like half Shabbos, of people using their cell phone Shabbos. Right? Helper actually spoke about it from the pulpit a few weeks ago. But it's much more prevalent in teenagers. I was surprised these four guys didn't realize it was, I certainly don't think it's as prevalent in people our age. But when it comes to teenagers, like socially, they have to feel as if they can't miss out on anything. And if people who don't keep Shabbos are on Instagram or Snapchat, whatever it may be, they don't want to miss out on that. And therefore, they're going to use their phone Shabbos. And they're going to keep Shabbos aside from using their phone, which of course is still breaking Shabbos. And for many of these kids, because they're so used to breaking Shabbos, like, okay, like, yeah, they know they should keep Shabbos, but it's like, okay, it's not that bad. Like, that's what they think of in their eyes. And I told one of my classes, I said, I want you to realize that if you were to sleep with someone, have relations with someone, that's better than violating Shabbos. And I said, if you were to even sleep with a non-Jew, that's better. And they're like, what? I said, this is not a reason to sleep with someone. And this is not a reason also to make you feel bad if you don't keep Shabbos. Because, of course, okay, life, it's tough, and you might be in a family situation. But I want you to realize, like, put it in perspective. And it's very true. And, like, I think that's what I'm telling you now, because I think it's a perfect example of this. Where a person, when you continuously give it to your heart, he feels as if it's not so bad. And he can't even recognize to see, like, what's so awful about this? And there's something that you know you're not going to do. It's like if I were to use the example also of eating pig. If I said eating pig is much less of an avera than breaking Shabbos, it's like, what? That's crazy. Pig. I'm like, yeah, better to eat bacon like and keep Shabbos than break Shabbos. They think it's crazy. But just because they're so used to breaking it, then like, Baruch Hashem, there are many kids it's going online. There are many kids in the school that are very, very, very from. And we're talking about a minority, and this applies also across the board to all these schools. But just an important thing to like people just like are blind to what's going on. We'll end with this. As it says in Bava Metzia, Pegel and Beis, Tash, quotes Pasuk in Tehillim, Koftal Kaf, Tash es choshech vihi laila. That basically, you make darkness and it becomes night. You're the one doing it. Zeh olam hazeh. This is olam hazeh, shedom laila. Olam hazeh is a place of darkness where you can't really see the light, you can't see what's clear. And he's going to be discussing about having people who do have the clarity and getting advice from people who do see what's clear and what a person should do and guide a person within that. So as a Shema, we'll continue from here from Vahavi next time. Yeah.